May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739. The Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 1 to verse 14.
Exodus 12, verses 1 to 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for ever. Now let us turn in the New Testament to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and we'll read some verses in chapter 1. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1, and we'll read the first 21 verses. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word. And may he help us in prayer. Let us pray. O thou almighty, eternal and holy God, what are we, Lord, in thy most holy sight, as we are gathered together here this night, in this place? For thou knowest, Lord, our innermost hearts. Thine all-seeing eye sees every sin every transgression. Lord, thou knowest us through and through, and there is no escape, for thou art all knowledgeable, omniscient in all these things. And we are only fit, Lord, to be cast from thy sight. And yet, Lord, we come. We come, Lord, pleading that precious name and that precious blood of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. For, Lord, that is the only way that sin can be atoned for. That is the only way that we can be cleansed from our guilt. The only way we can be delivered from the power of sin and the condemnation under thy holy law. The only way we can be found even acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, we come humbly, pleading that blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ this night, confessing our sins, our unworthiness, our backslidings, our dreadful great iniquity. And O Lord, we pray for the gift of thy Spirit to give us that faith, to even now look unto Jesus and plead, Lord, that precious death, to behold the Lamb of God for sinners slain. And oh, may we know that it was for me, it was for me that he hung and suffered there. Lord, thou knowest how each of us have come. Lord, those softened, broken hearts that know their uncleanness. Lord, we pray thou wilt hear those humble cries. Give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, be revealed in our midst here tonight. And oh, do not send any of us empty away. Lord, do give us that precious gift of faith. Lord, that faith that looks upon Jesus. That faith that believes in the power of that shed blood. And Lord, may we know its power in great effect within our hearts. Lord, do change nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. Where the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of thy glory and thy grace. O Lord, may this work ever be manifest here, as thy people, Lord, assemble here for in the week and upon thy day, and whenever the time, Lord, is, there's a gathering together here. Oh, do be present in their midst. Do touch each heart. Grant the unity of thy Spirit and the bond of thy peace. So, Lord, may there be many a blessed, special moment, yes, rich in blessing, which before thy cross is spent, under the sound of thy holy word of truth, under the sound of the preaching of the gospel. Lord, may it often be not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Lord, are there not those tried because of the tribulations of daily life? Many things, Lord, against, and there is not that prosperity that they desire. And Lord, these temptations bring and stir up unbelief within, that a soul, such a soul, is not one of thine, that thou art not merciful and gracious to them. All the disappointments, the unanswered prayers, Lord, thou knowest these things, and thou knowest the reasons why. Lord, we commend them to thee, that thou wilt yet hear those cries. Lord, that thou wilt not tarry long. Lord, but deliver from bondage of unbelief and bring into the liberty of the knowledge, of the glory of God through that mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, thy good hand to be upon them, to give them those tokens, those evidences, that they are thine and thou art theirs. And bring, turn sorrow, Lord, into joy. Lord, turn a distress and tribulation into thanksgiving. O Lord, for thou art the God that supplies the needs of all thy people, according to thy riches in glory, and by Christ Jesus. Lord, do hear every prayer that is poured out before thee now, from each heart here. Ever make this place, Lord, a true house of prayer. And Lord, those prayers offered up before thee, oh, may they enter into thine ear, the ear of the Lord God of Sabaoth. And Lord, who send down answers of thy peace for the good and prosperity of each soul, and for the upholding and help and deliverance in life's pathway. Lord, remember those that have sicknesses, those that have griefs, bereavements, loss of loved ones. Lord, care of others, concern for others. Oh Lord, thou knowest each heartache. Lord, we pray thou wilt appear and grant all sufficient help in the time of need. We thank thee, Lord, where thou dost appear. We thank thee, Lord, that we are all able to be here this night. For it's through, Lord, thy mercies that we are not consumed. Thy compassions, they are new every morning. For thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, thou hast spared our lives to enter once more into thine earthly courts. And we would thank thee, Lord, as we look back to see thy hand upon us. A hand that has helped, that hand that has guided. Lord, those hands that have carried in the times of difficulty, trouble and all necessities. And Lord, how we prove there is none like the God of Jeshua, none like thee, O Lord, that rideth upon the heavens in our help, and in thine excellency on the sky. Now, Lord, the eternal God, our refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms. Lord, so we would fall into those arms this night, casting upon thee all our care. We commend to thee, Lord, each one here tonight, and remember each one unable to be here for whatever reason. Lord, remember the little children, the babes. Lord, watch over them and keep them in thy loving care. May they grow, Lord, in their faculties, in health and strength daily. And, O Lord, do confirm them as the lambs of thy fold. Give them that desire as they grow to learn, to know more of the things of Jesus. Bless the labours of parents to them, Lord, may there be the fruits following those labours through the blessing of thy Spirit. Lord, remember those that watch over and look after the children tonight. Help them, Lord, in those necessary things. And Lord, any others that are not here tonight, perhaps detained by duty. Lord, perhaps something unexpected has arisen. Lord, it may be sickness or feeling unwell. Lord, thou knowest each one. And what we pray for ourselves here, Lord, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, for the deacons, bless them and help them in all their prayerful labours here. Lord, may they know they are not alone, but thou art with them. Each member of the church, Lord, oh, do uphold and unite by thy Spirit. Lord, grant thy blessing upon them in the exercises they have regarding this place. O Lord, do receive their cries. Lord, could it be thy will? Grant, a settled ministry here. Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear any cries that are put up to thee in this respect. And Lord, thou wilt prepare an answer in one whom thou shalt choose to give them exercise concerning this place. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant to supply the needs of all thy people here in the ministry of the gospel. And not only the ministry of the gospel, Lord, but all those other things that fall to an under-shepherd to do. Lord, we pray thou wilt grant thy blessing. Remember each one of the congregation, young and old. Lord, remember them in their pathways. Lord, may there be many, many exercises within their hearts, oh, to seek unto thee. For Lord, thou hast promised that those that seek shall find. To those that knock it shall be opened. To those that ask, they shall receive. O Lord, may there be thy blessing upon each one. Lord, that they can, constrained by thy love, testify, Lord, of that mercy unto their soul, to thine honour and to thy glory. So build up, Lord, thy church here, that visible church, and maintain, Lord, as a church and congregation. Lord, in this village of Swavesey, are there not many, Lord, that have no concern for their soul, have no concern regarding eternity? Lord, wilt thou not pour out thy Spirit and touch those hearts, quicken those souls, cause them to seek, Lord, for their soul's salvation, to convince of sin, and then lead to Jesus' blood. O Lord, may this be the birthplace of many a soul, yet unknown to us, but known unto thee. Lord, we lay these things before thee. Maintain our liberties of worship. Lord, they are under threat by the government of this land and those that advise them. Lord, do overturn those earthly desires, those wicked, evil desires, those abominations. Lord, do maintain to us the freedom of worship as we have this night, that the whole counsel of God can be proclaimed fearlessly, and thy word to go forth, to have free course, and to be glorified. Lord, forgive our many, many sins. Blot out all our transgressions. Do love us freely. And open up thy word to us. May it find an abiding place in each of our hearts. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon our God, that he will open up the truth of his holy word unto us and prepare our hearts to receive it. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The sixth verse of this first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Each of us here tonight, without exception, in our lives we have many beginnings of one form or another. Circumstances change, experiences end, others begin. But dear friends, I don't want to speak particularly of those things in a practical sense. What seems laid upon me are those significant beginnings of which the Jews knew, and the application there is to us. The Jews, although they knew many beginnings in the providences of life, there were three beginnings that were common to them all. The first one, of course, was their own personal beginning of being born upon this earth, delivered safe from their mother's womb, given sufficient health and strength and all the necessities of life to grow and to take on duties and responsibilities in their time. And although we don't read of the Jews celebrating the day of their birth, they kept an account of it. For we read again and again and again how old a certain people were, and how old they were when they came to die, the day of their natural birth. And then there was the day of their new year. That new year, first of all, being what they call their civil year, the calendar year, the year that is based on their calculation on the day of creation. It was the day of the sounding of trumpets in accordance with the word of God. A new year sounded in to rule and to regulate the times and the seasons to by which they lived and conducted themselves. And I think this year is their 5,774th year. And the 5,775th year will begin round about September time of this year, if the Lord will. And through those years, many things take place, don't they? Yes, there's the beginning of barley harvest and so on and so forth. Many beginnings, but all based on the timing of that civil calendar year. And then there was their third beginning, And that was the third beginning which we read of. Their religious new year. The year of their redemption. The beginning of their freedom when they were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Slaves unto Pharaoh. When the Lord appeared, I have come down to deliver them. Oh, dear friends, what a deliverance that was. What a beginning that was. It was only God, their God, who could do it. And he was their God because he had chosen them. Their whole time, their whole deliverance, their whole freedom was in the hand of God. In Egypt, was it 450 years or so? How they came into sore distress. But the Lord was mindful of them. Oh, how sovereign is the Lord God. His ways past finding out. Dear friends, when that time came of the Lord's will and purpose, nothing could withstand against it. Oh, do note, it wasn't all those plagues in and of themselves which delivered the children of Israel from the power of Egypt. They only served to harden the Pharaoh's heart. Oh, at times he said, yes, he would be willing under the influence of the plague, but as soon as the plague was taken away, he returned to his own sad place, to the natural hardness of his heart. We find that deliverance came when the Lord through Moses spoke to the people, as we read tonight, to take a lamb for each of those people and their families and all of their neighbours also. And that lamb was to be slain. One without blemish, without spot. A lamb of the first year. And he was to be slain, as it were a sacrifice for their sin. And that blood was to be poured out in those basins. And then it was to be daubed upon the lintels and the doorposts of their houses. And they were to enter in to eat that lamb which was roast with fire. That night clothed, do it in haste, ready to leave Egypt on that next day. Dear friends, what caused those children of Israel to believe such a thing when they'd been so objectionable to the increased burden they'd received from the hands of the Egyptians since Moses came? Why did they now believe the word of Moses? It was God-given faith. Nothing of themselves. God-given faith to believe these words and to act upon them in accordance with God's command. And, dear friends, that night, as God had said, judgment was poured out upon Egypt. Judgment because of the sin. And dear friends, there was sin in the Israel, wasn't there? There was sin in Goshen. Those Israelites were not sinless by any means. But that glorious word, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see that blood which has been spilt by faith faith in the sacrifice of one that was guiltless, and yet believed on that beneath this, in accordance with the word of God, is salvation. And you have obeyed that word, and by faith sheltered this night beneath that shed blood in your homes, feeding upon the sacrifice. Then I will pass over you. And the Lord did. Death throughout the whole of Egypt, except in the land of Goshen. And such was the power of the wrath of God and his judgment that Egypt had to thrust out those that they held captive, hasten them away. And so began this newness of life, as we might say, the newness of a journey that would lead to the promised land, which God had promised, covenanted, for his people. Dear friends, what a beginning. That night and that morning, as they set forth on that pathway of liberty from their captives. All those three beginnings. Now, dear friends, it holds this question, doesn't it? How many beginnings do you and I have tonight? Yes, we've got two beginnings, haven't we? We've all been born. Born from our mother's womb. And we've been enabled through health and strength to carry on until tonight. Some have through many more years than others. But it's of the Lord's mercies we've not been consumed as mad. And we have much cause for thanksgiving, no matter who we are. And then there's the beginning of our calendar year. This month is the beginning of months for us, isn't it, in a calendar sense, by which we organise and control and keep in order so many matters and so much business concerning ourselves. And we rejoice, don't we? We celebrate the day of our birth. We celebrate the day of a new year. And when a new year comes, oh, how it seems to be that it's like a clean page in a new book. Things are beginning anew, and we have those good intentions, and perhaps make our resolutions, and we have our hopes, yes, and our fears. And so we have a new beginning in that sense. But dear friends, what about this third beginning? This newness of life. Being born again. Born of the Spirit, born of God. Delivered from the captivity and the burden of sin. Oh, how vital, isn't that? There's no other beginning in our lives so vital as to know deliverance from the power of sin. Dear friends, when that new birth comes, when that deliverance comes, it'll be a time you will never forget. Because a great change comes to the heart, as some of you know. Dear friends, if you have known this change of heart, this renewing of the will, the turning of your feet to Zion's hill, then this text this night is yours. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He hath begun it. How did he begin it? Well, dear friends, didn't he call you out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light? Did not his word quicken you? Was it not the power of his Spirit that caused you, to hearken to that voice and believe upon the truth by faith? Did it not lead you in humble confession to the Lamb of God? Did you not receive that eye of faith to behold the Lamb of God, to taketh away the sin of the world, and to look upon him that was pierced, and to realize he was pierced for sin? Oh, the dear Son of God that was manifest in the flesh. Oh, what a great mystery, bearing the sins of many. He that was sinless, subject to those sufferings, to that agony, even to the hiding of his Father's face, the shedding of his blood, that many sinners should be delivered from the power of sin and to be cleansed from their guilt. And dear friends, that truth was made manifest in your heart. And you could do nothing. You were constrained to look upon it and believe it and to know it revealed in you, Christ, the hope of glory. Oh, wouldn't the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace? You could have gone to be with him, couldn't you? Gone to be with him, forsaken all of this earth. There was all your heart's desire. And it wasn't your own work, was it? You couldn't say it was you. Oh no. Your heart was melted. Nothing in your hand could you bring, could you? As the hymn writer puts it. But simply to Christ's cross you did cling. And your cry was for mercy. And he did not shut out that cry, did he? But it was revealed to you in that beautiful revelation as you looked upon Christ in all his sufferings. That fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. And you felt the removal of your guilty stains. You know, those are the moments which the hymn writer speaks of, rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent. Dear friends, for the things of this world do grow strangely dim, don't they? In the light of his glory and grace, I can witness of that. And we become lost in wonder, love and praise. Why me? Dear friends, for the same reason that sinful Jacob was chosen of God, because God loved him. There's no reason we can find out for that, is there? But that humbles us in the dust, doesn't it? It doesn't raise us up with any pride or any goodness or any righteousness. No, we become the lowest of the low. Why me? Why me? Why, such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. Oh, what a realization, what we've been delivered from. What a glorious hope of what we've been brought to. The Apostle Paul puts it like this. A worthy saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into this world to save sinners. of whom I am chief. Well, dear friends, what a beautiful word this is to you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and it is a good work, isn't it? There's nothing better. There's only one that is good, that is God, says Jesus. And this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, there's a gracious promise. And if it's a gracious promise which Paul knew for himself, there's a purpose in it, isn't there? And that purpose is that you can't keep yourself. You can't perform it yourself. You can't maintain yourself in that love of which has been shed abroad in your heart and by the Holy Ghost. You still have your earthly nature. You still have your wicked heart. It still affects your thoughts. Still affects your words. Still affects your deeds and your desires. And how often it seems to have a preeminence within you, and oh, you're constrained to go those ways and grieve the Holy Spirit. And depart from that which is the revealed will of God and his sovereign will, and object to it. Oh, our wretched heart within us. You know, the Apostle Paul knew it, didn't he? In my flesh, he says, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That was after he knew the love of God within his heart. I thank God through Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, who is faithful that hath promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. None shall ever pluck thee out of my hand. None shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Dear friends, this is your hope, isn't it? The faithfulness of a loving God. The work of that redemption. Oh, dear friends, what a great price it was. His own heart's blood. The blood of Christ. He's not going to let you go. You're his. You're a purchased possession. You're no longer your own, are you? You're Christ's. Therefore, we're to serve God with our body and with our spirit, which are God's. And he's going to lead us and teach us in the way that we shall go. And dear friends, that way we shall go are ways which are for the profit of our soul. And if it's for the profit of our souls, there'll be many things in our lives, dear friends, that'll cause us to separate from the love of the flesh, from the love of self. There'll be many things in our lives to strengthen faith. And dear friends, strengthening of faith comes through the exercise of faith. And the exercise of faith comes when things do not go in accordance to our own will, our mind and our own reasoning. When we're sorely tried and tempted. But dear friends, it's through these ways that we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. That we ourselves shall decrease. And he, oh, that love, that redeeming love within our hearts, only increase. That we become separated from the hope and trust in all other things except the blood of Christ. Oh, the value of this shed blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And how often, dear friends, we have to plead it, don't we, and shelter beneath it, again and again and again, on account of our sin and our transgressions. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when he shall call you from time unto eternity. That's a lovely word, isn't it, in Revelation, in the epistle to the Hebrews. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear friends, as he was in the beginning of that work within your soul, he will be today, and he will be forever. The sin bearer, the friend of sinners, the one who calls and keeps and holds fast unto his own self. He calls you my sheep. Hear my voice, and they follow me. And dear friends, it's him, isn't it, who keeps you in the way, following him, dependent upon him as your good shepherd. And so he will lead you on by the right way, kept by the power of God, through faith, that which he's given you in the beginning. Dear friends, it will never be taken away from you. It may become low. Oh, we read of the disciples, O ye of little faith. Of Peter, O ye of little faith, and so on. But dear friends, little faith is still the work of God. It never becomes zero faith. Jonah in the whale's belly, on account of all his sin, and the solemn hand of God against him, yet he had still faith which God had given him. I will look again toward thy holy temple. That was faith. And in the depths of our troubles, the depths of our backsliding, the depths of our sin, dear friends, out of the depths we cry unto him, don't we, again and again. For there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at that last time. Dear friends, that last time when, oh, we lose this body of sin and death. The Spirit returneth to God who gave it. That Spirit, dear friends, which is of God. The Spirit of Christ which he hath given. Oh, that Spirit of faith. That exercise of faith. Dear friends, all that is good that has been of God. To the cleansing of your soul returns to him. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What a hope. What a foundation. What a surety. What an everlasting love. It's a perfect love, isn't it? And that perfect love, it casts out all fear. Dear friends, if any of you are in a trying pathway tonight, oh, our unbelief rises up, doesn't it? As if perhaps you fear it was all the imagination of your own heart. It was an earthly experience. It was just of your own mind. And oh, how difficult things are today. You still know those ventures to the throne of grace, don't you? The Lord knows what it takes to keep you there. There is all your hope. There is all your stay. There to obtain mercy again and again. And to find grace to help in the time of your need. For he hath said, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the water, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Now, dear friends, those waters are like troubles which are going to drown all your hope and all your confidence in Christ. And through the waters they shall not overflow thee. Those rivers, sorry, to overflow thee. Those rivers, fast-flowing rivers, to wash all away your experiences and, as it were, to blot them all out. That you're left with nothing. Oh, what a low state things of this earth can bring us to. and through the fires, to burn up all that faith, burn up all that experience you think you've had, that is, it becomes nothing. No, that flame shall not kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God, I've called you by your name, thou art mine, fear not, being confident of this very thing. He that hath performed that good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Nothing can destroy what the Lord hath done for your soul. And there might be some of you here tonight who say, oh, I wish this was mine. This is my longing desire, to know my Jesus crucified, to have this new birth, to walk in newness of life. But you seem to be so far off. You seem to be dead, still in trespasses and in sins, bound by sin. Now, dear friends, let me tell you this, that when Israel came out of Egypt on that first day, that wasn't the beginning of all things, was it? There was a preparation before that. There was a preparation for that new beginning. And we read how the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord in their sorrow and in their distress. And their cry came up unto the Lord their God. And he says, their cry is come up unto me. I have heard them. I have come down to deliver them. Now God changes not. I love that portion of Psalm 102, the prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. When the Lord shall build up Zion, call his people, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Dear friends, that afflicted cry, that fear of the Lord, that knowledge of your sin, bound by your guilt and your shame. Dear friends, you didn't teach that yourself, you know. The Lord has taught you that. And the Lord has taught you that because you're his people and he loves you. And to this man will I look, to him that is poor, of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And that makes you cry, doesn't it? It makes you cry unto him. Dear friends, carry on crying. Give the Lord no rest. Israel didn't in their trial. And the Lord has promised that time will come when he looks down and hears the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. That time of love will come when you shall truly see not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me. He's begun a good work in you. The Spirit convinces of sin, doesn't it? And teaches of righteousness and of judgment. And you haven't got any of your own, have you? And you fear the judgment of God or the curse of the law. And you desire to know that redemption. Christ is the redemption from the curse of the law. And he causes you, dear friends, to cry out. And men ought always to pray, not to faint. Shall the Lord not avenge his own elect speedily, that cry day and night unto him? Being confident of this very thing, do pray on. that he which hath begun a good work in you, it is a good work. Perhaps it doesn't seem to be a work of grace, but it is. That grace may be revealed fully to you through the power of that shed blood. Cause you to look upon Christ by faith. And there to shelter beneath that blood, trusting in him, casting on him all your care. All those care of the soul. Confessing your sin. For if you confess your sins, we read he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. They that cometh unto Christ in such a way as that, we don't read he ever turns them away. He came to save sinners. Sinners to repentance. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Dear friend, what a glorious gospel in Jesus Christ. The only way, the only truth that we can be delivered from the wrath of God. Now, dear friends, is there any of you here tonight in neither of those states? Are you satisfied with your first two beginnings, your birth, and carrying on year by year as the calendar years go by? And you have your possessions, you have your ease, you have your comforts, you have your religious ways of life even. You attend upon the things of God in an outward form. And yet you've not any real desire in your heart to be found as a guilty sinner before the throne of grace. Or you're in a dreadful state tonight, if you like that. Because there's no hope for you of glory. You're under the curse, and there's no doubt about it. What hinders you? What hinders you from hearing this word of God? This truth as it is in Jesus. It's your own hard heart, isn't it? Which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you cannot turn yourself from it. You're bound by it. You're controlled by it. And you may think you have a righteousness. You have a goodness. Some acceptability before God, just as the Pharisees did. But except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And who knows what another day shall bring forth? Oh, I read to my own people on the Lord's Day afternoon about that rich farmer whose ground brought forth plentifully. Friends, it was the gift of God. And you possess many of the gifts of God, don't you? All the benefits of what he has granted upon this earth. And you take them and you use them and you live by them and you live in them. And he took that which God had given without any thanksgiving, without any softness of heart. All he desired to do was live his life in peace, in ease. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, is what he said. God said, thou fool, thou fool. Oh, dear friends, I trust there's no fools amongst us here tonight that say really in their heart there is no God. They may say it in their heads. You may know a lot of scripture in your mind. But what about your heart? That's where this work of salvation, this work of grace, and the work of the Spirit begins, isn't it? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And don't live in the fear of God now. Dear friends, may the Lord quicken you by his Spirit before it is too late. Oh, may the Lord even use these words, these solemn judgments, these solemn threatenings to touch your heart as an arrow of conviction. Because you're a sinner. A sinner in God's sight. And all sinners in God's sight, in that day of judgment, that day of Christ Jesus, will be separated from those for whom Christ died. And will live forever in that terrible state of agony and burning in that lake of fire. Oh, we cannot describe the solemnity of it, can we? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear, O Elvital. And what a blessed vitalness, the sending by God of his only begotten Son. Dear friends, he becomes the chiefest, doesn't he, amongst 10,000. He becomes the altogether lovely one. Dear friends, far greater than all earthly loves. Earthly loves, precious that they are, they're temporal. But this love is eternal. In this world we read there's faith, there's hope, and there's charity, or love. Faith and hope vital as we seek to follow Christ, depend upon him throughout our earthly lives. And that love to God through him, we love him because he first loved us. Manifest that love in our heart. Oh, when we love him in return and seek to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. But in this day of Jesus Christ, the end of all time as we know it today, faith will be needed no more. We shall see him as he beholds us. See him face to face without a glass between. We shan't need hope anymore. There'll be the realization of the hope and of the expectation. There'll be the fulfilling of all the precious promises. I go to prepare a place for you, and I shall come again, receive you unto myself. But that love will only continue in all its fullness to live with Christ forevermore. Dear friends, what we shall be like, we do not know. But we know that we shall be satisfied when we awake in his likeness, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Blessed be his name. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls, the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. 766.
Lord, may the hymn we've just clothed with embrace us all. And we, Lord, by faith, being able to embrace it, and to embrace, Lord, thy holy word of truth, because thou doth embrace us with thy redeeming love. O Lord, who make us each, confirm us each, as subjects of thy never-failing grace, and prepare us each for eternal life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and even forevermore. Amen.